already here. It's RBKD. Today on the show, we eat some rice, get some starch in your diet. We preview the Owls. Cowboys get more bad news. It just keeps on coming. There was a hospital that was not properly socially distancing. We'll get to that. He went from DB High to DBU, somehow ended up in Detroit. Like I say, he spent most of that time in Windsor. He's a smart man. He's in more private clubs than a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet does discriminate against white condiments and foods. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite, a conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before it ever was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than your whole team. That's my man, my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I'm doing great. We're getting to Thursday. We have a game tonight, and you know what that means. I mean, we're already here.
That's great. Football.
It's football. It's a great thing about
football. Shortens the week.
I was just gonna say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I stole your glory.
No, I'm glad you did.
I mean,
I'm glad you did because it allows me to expand on it,
yes.
Knowing that hey.
But I feel you.
You're
though.
Feeling me, right?
I feel the same vibes. Like oh, Thursday. Then we just had Monday. I was like, oh man.
I feel like we have European weeks during the fall.
We just got to take siestas.
Yeah,
be good.
No, I mean, I feel like...
Nap. Well, you already do. You get a nap in.
Yeah, I haven't this week, though.
Oh,
so, yeah. If I've been crusty, that's
why.
You've
been crusty. You've been all good.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I haven't noticed any change.
Well, the key is, as long as I get six in, then I'm good.
Then you're good. So, you've been sleeping at night is the whole
Yeah,
point.
If I get six in, that's good. I'd rather get 7.5 to 8, and so I may use a nap there, but I just haven't had the time. But yeah. I've gotten seven, at least seven every night, which is...
Nice. Like
that's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like you. I'm not one of these freaks, one of these robots who I have friends like, yeah, I got 3 hours of sleep last night. Why are you functioning?
Yeah. No, I want to get more sleep. I don't want to be one of those people.
I know you don't.
I am, but
You'd rather be LeBron James.
I'd rather be... Who wouldn't?
In many regards.
Or Usain Bolt, in many regards.
Including they're 10 hours, aren't they?
There are some athletes who have confessed to having... That basically their regimen is 10 hours a day. And J.J. Watt's one, Usain Bolt, LeBron James. They believe in like the, you know, the rejuvenative powers of sleep.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, just don't, you know, the regeneration, all that kind of stuff. Well, there's no doubt about it. There's no question about it. Sleep helps you. So get more sleep. It's a good thing. Don't try to be one of those crazy people that doesn't get sleep.
That's what Herb Hand was doing wrong. Kyle Flood,
I've
got the medicine.
Get some sleep. There you go.
Get 14 hours of sleep.
It does help you make better decisions.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And some people function differently, but we're just happy to have some football tonight. We're going to get into a lot of ball today, including Texas and Rice, as we take a look at that. And also the Cowboys. And actually, we're going to start with the Cowboys. You know, sometimes... Especially, I know this as a Niners fan, and I'm curious exactly what they're doing with strength and conditioning, considering all the ACLs. 23, right?
Leads
the league over the last couple of years.
I believe it's since, I got to go back and make sure I get the number right, but I believe it's like 2009. They've had more, I know they had more torn ACLs for the 49ers than any other team in the NFL. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, the Cowboys getting hit with some bad luck. Zach Martin was COVID. He's out. The offensive line held up against Tampa Bay. That wasn't the issue. It was more defense, and we can get into that a little bit. But Lael Collins did not show up for multiple drug tests.
Seven.
It was seven? I thought it was three.
Seven.
Okay.
I believe the NFL's like threshold, I believe, to start – to flag you, I thought was three. Maybe that's the old CBA, though.
Something's up.
Remember, it's a new CBA, so I'm old now. I'm like two CBAs ago. That's how you know I'm old.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm old school. So new CBA could be they get more opportunities to no-show. I thought it used to be three, but he no-showed seven times.
You know,
so, because there could be misunderstandings.
There could be.
And the NFL can, you know, you guys are in different cities, especially, you know, in different things, so... They understand, hey, man, stuff happens. You got a life. You know, you got kids. We get it. But no show seven times. That's not a coincidence. That's not it happens. That's you avoiding the drug test.
Yeah.
And we don't know why.
Well, you would think because there may be something there.
But weed's not... if it is marijuana, I can say it may not be weed. But a lot of other things are out of your system pretty quickly.
Yeah,
a lot of the other harder drugs, we won't get into that because we don't need to get into that.
No, we didn't need to get into that.
Yeah, but you get my point. So I'm just that's why weed used to be the one people feared because it stayed in your system longer in terms of drug tests
right.
in the NFL.
How does that work?
Anyway, so yeah, 7 is the number. I apologize for interrupting. There you go.
Shouldn't it be the harder drugs that actually show up, but then again, that's just kind of the way it works. But Lyle Collins will be out, so we've talked about Terrence Steele moving to right. Yeah, I'm just saying, moving to right tackle.
Sound like Norm McDonald.
Yeah, I do. He's inspired me. And then you've got Connor McGovern. There were some questions. Why not move him to right guard? He held up pretty well and moved Zach Martin out to right tackle. They may end up making that move. My guess is at some point, they're going to end up making that move. But they got other issues. We know their defense is not great, Rod. And this news came out. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out multiple weeks.
Six to eight months. He broke his fifth metatarsal. Trust me, I really couldn't tell you exactly what it is. But that's going to have him out 6 to 8 weeks. So it's a broken foot. And
there you go.
He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Get
as a
Jimbo
result.
On me. He's got a crack in his leg.
in his lower half.
Lower half.
But yeah, so that's devastating. I mean, because there's an argument to be made that against the Bucks, he was their best player. And they're paying him like it. But he looked phenomenal. He had a pass rush win rate of 40%. That's if you get off the block in less than 2.5 seconds. That was fifth best in the league. He had 5 pressures versus the Bucks. He looked like the DeMarcus Lawrence of old. And now that's out. And now he's out. And then you brought the Randy Gregory thing. So on top of Randy Gregory now in COVID protocol, I don't know the length of time he's going to be in COVID protocol, but my assumption is he's not going to practice all week. And then if you don't practice all week, usually the rule is you don't play unless you're big time. And maybe he's big time enough, but I doubt it. I think he's...
Or maybe they're desperate enough, but I'm not sure.
I don't know if he has enough time. Yeah. I don't know if he has the time. Because remember, just the same thing with Zach Martin, right? What was it? You have to have 2 negative tests.
Yep.
And I believe then you still have to have a certain amount of time between your COVID positive test and the 2 negative tests. And I'm not sure exactly what that is with the COVID protocol. So he's done. I mean, not done, but he's not playing this week, we assume. So if you're the Cowboys, what do you do? Bradley Anae, between Bradley Anae, Dorrance Armstrong, who you like, Terrell Basham. Is it Terrell Basham?
Basham.
And then Chauncey Golston. Azur Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
Those are basically your options right now. And that group has combined for 10 sacks, and Basham has got 7 of those.
Yeah, Azur is, we saw him on kickoff. He made the team, I think, because of his kickoff and because he's still a project that they believe in. But he's got to get more weight on. He's got to get technically more sound. He's got to, there's just some things we saw even in the Hard Knocks episodes that people that cover Dallas daily have kind of told us, that's not your answer right there.
No, not right
not
now.
Not right now.
He's a project.
Not right now.
Yeah, he's a project. And that's what good organizations do. I mean,
yeah.
You find you know,
I like them keeping
him. Like that. Exactly. I think the Cowboys have done.
He was killing kickoff.
They've done that with a couple of guys. Dorrance Armstrong may be ready for that moment now. I mean, you invested
in him. That was
him
2 years ago.
That was, yeah, I mean, 2-3 years ago. And Bradley Anae, a couple of, I mean, when was that?
I think it's
an
eye.
Is it an eye?
It's an eye.
I apologize.
I had a Cowboy fan.
Oh, did he correct you? All right.
Corrected you through
me. Oh, corrected me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I apologize. All right. So it's one of those things where I don't know which one of those guys they believe in or those projects they believe in the most. So
I don't either. But this is a defense that on the back end, you've done a great job of illustrating how they have not invested in safety for sure. I mean, they took Diggs. They took some cornerbacks this last draft. They're trying to catch up there. But against Justin Herbert and this team, look, we know how Dallas is going to win this year. And I think both of us kind of thought this could be a 9-8 team, which will probably win the division or around there. But their secondary is going to be an issue. And Justin Herbert has been, he's been fantastic through a year and one game. So you're going to have to outscore them, but defensively, you got to get some stops. I'm curious because we're going to get into Supreme Lending picks a little bit later on in the show. I don't have a great feel on this one. Do you?
On what?
On Cowboys Chargers?
Oh, that's easy. It's Chargers.
Chargers, okay. I'm leaning there.
Not even close. Like, to me, that's not.
Well, you laugh, question. But there were a lot of upsets last week.
I know,
so.
No. I know the Cowboys can score points, but now that defense is even more depleted. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do on the front. I mean, maybe how they would apply pressure. And, you know, it could be one of those things where they experiment. This is why you got Micah Parsons. So maybe you put him at the edge rusher for, you know, certain snaps situationally. You can do that. You can – Jalen Smith is a guy you use as a pass rusher at times. You can use him situationally as a pass rusher. Maybe you get creative. You put Jabril Cox out there and you put multiple linebackers. Like, you can put LVE in the middle and use – Micah Parsons and Jalen Smith as pass rushers via blitz to set the edge. I'm not sure exactly what Dan Quinn's going to do. Or you can just believe in the young guys you got.
You could. I don't think this is as much of a runaway as you may think it is, mainly because I don't buy the Chargers all the way through. I like Bosa. I like, obviously, Keenan Allen and the connection he has with Justin Herbert. But I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. The only thing I do feel comfortable about is the over-under. But in terms of... And that's right, we're not picking lines with Supreme Lending. So straight up,
just pick straight up,
I'm taking the Chargers.
That's what, I just think if you're picking a winner without also, you know, Lyle Collins, he's not going to be there too. So you got going up against one of the best pass rushers in the league. You know, Brandon Staley was one of the top five best defensive minds in the league right now. He's going to try to find ways to create pressure, and he's really good at manipulating fronts to create pressure. He's one of those guys that believes in having the numbers advantage on the back end in the passing game, which fits going up against the Cowboys. He'll have that shell two look a lot of times. They'll have two deep safeties a lot of the times, and then they'll manipulate from that pre-snap look. But, you know, you talked about, I mean, Bosa's, I think he's, I don't know where you rank him as one of the best pass rushers in the league. He's definitely top 10. You know, both of the Bosa's probably are top 10 pass rushers in the league. If they can stay healthy. So that concerns me. And the way they'll use Derwin James coming off the edge, too. I mean, they use him as a pass rusher in certain situations. So that concerns me. I think the Cowboys have a lot of holes and a lot of things they're trying to fix right now, and you can't outscore all your problems, and that's what the Cowboys are going to try to do.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Bosa last year, 12 games, 61 total pressures, 90.5 pass rush grade from Pro Football Focus. That was, like I said, in 12 games, and that's going to be...
If he's healthy,
watch out.
and he's healthy.
You've got Terrence Steele, who has shown when he has come in the last couple of years that he can give up edge pressure. I still think Dallas, and one thing that made me feel good was
they definitely can make it close because they can score.
Yeah,
they can score, no doubt. I know they can, but in terms of, like I said, just picking a winner, I'll take the Chargers. And I know if they score 30 points, then maybe they got a shot, because that's the Cowboys' magic number. Last 3 years, they've scored 30 points. They're 14-2 when they do, and I think they're 0-17 now when they don't. So that's their magic number. They got to do that.
I wonder if they have Trayvon Diggs try and follow Keenan Allen around, because Allen just continues. He's such a great route runner, and he continues to get open, but they've been using him in the slot a lot. He's lined up in the slot 51% of the time this past season, and I expect to see him a lot more in the slot, and we'll see if Dallas will actually be smart and match up personnel to personnel. Because you've talked about Diggs, and you like Diggs as a former cornerback in the NFL. You kind of like where he's going. He had some growing pains. He had some problems. He got burned. He got burned at Alabama a lot, or too much for a first-round pick. But there's a lot of talent there, and then got burned a little bit his rookie season. But he looks like he's kind of taking that next step. He's easily, to me, the most talented long-term in that secondary.
I mean, unless you're an elite corner and there are, I don't know, 5 to 6 of those in the NFL.
You're going to get burned.
Everybody gets beat, man. Everybody gets beat. It just happens. There's just too many good wide receivers out there. The offenses are really just too intricate and detailed, so they're going to find ways to create space, and guys are going to get open. So, and shutdown corners don't exist like they used to. So there are some elite guys. Jalen Ramsey's in that conversation, and you know, Stephen Gilmore is in that conversation, and there are a couple of guys throw out there. I'm sure I'm missing some guys off the top of my head, but there aren't many. You got to make plays on the ball. You want somebody that can make plays on the ball. And Trevon Diggs, you know, 13 career games, he's got 4 picks. It's a pretty good number.
It is a good number.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good
ratio.
He's
gotten beat, but he's also gotten back into it.
But he's going to make plays. He's going to get beat, but he's going to make plays. I think Dan Quinn and the Cowboys, who, you know, at least in recent history, haven't had very opportunistic defenses. They haven't had defenses that create turnovers. Recently, though, that has changed. That changed last game against the Bucks. They forced four turnovers. And even at the end of, you know, last season, Cowboys defense, even though it wasn't a great defense, they started forcing turnovers. It's one of the bright spots of last season, at least the end of it.
Chargers favored by 3.5, over under of 55.5. I would take the over on that. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think the Chargers win. The 3.5 with the hook makes me think a little bit, but we'll do Supreme Lending picks later on in the show. And yeah, in terms of straight up, that's probably the way to go. You know, it's not only their bad luck, it's not only.
I could be off, I could be wrong.
I mean, you gave the numbers just in terms of all the upsets, historic.
There were a lot of upsets
we've seen in pro football and also in college football. How about this story? So it's not only affecting players, affecting coaches as well. Cowboys assistant defensive line coach Leon Lett. Yes, the former, was he an All-Pro? He played like an All-Pro for a couple of years.
Sure, he actually had to get one. He seemed like it.
He was big time.
Definitely did.
He suffered a torn quad tendon during a sled drill in yesterday's practice. he had surgery this morning.
Was he just on the sled observing, or was he actually pushing the sled from the front trying to, you know, show the guys how they should do it? He can't. There's no great question.
I'm hoping he was showing. Because if you're just standing on it and you get injured.
You could, because somebody could hit it that hard, and you could get knocked off the sled. And then, boom, you hurt yourself. How old is Leon Lett?
Leon's got to be in his 50s, right?
Yeah, he's okay. He's still. I was gonna say he's maybe not. He may not be old enough to be trying to show the guys how to use the
52.
Sled.
52.
Oh no, he can. Yeah, he can still do it. It's still possible.
It depends what shape you're in.
It's still possible he hurt himself trying to show the guys how to do it, which is probably funnier than you him getting knocked off the sled.
You candy asses,
get out of the way.
Let the all pro show you. All right.
Yeah,
now I'm going to join the 10 other guys we have that are on the shelf.
Either one is funny, but that would be 10 times funnier in my opinion.
That would be fantastic.
And I definitely could see it happening.
Hey, Leon, go ahead and sit back. You're not making the trip to L.A. You can sit back and watch the game and enjoy a cold Miller Lite, maybe ice your quad while you do that. Miller Lite is the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys. So as you're watching the Chargers and the boys, make sure you got yourself all set up with the best light beer out there. Truly a great beer. It is the original light beer. It tastes great. It's less filling. They weren't lying with those ads. 96 calories, 3.2 carbs, but it's really about taste. So if you're watching Texas, watching the Horns, or watching the Cowboys, whoever you're watching this weekend, make sure you're all set up. Stop by wherever you go to get beer and get some Miller Lite. It is the, like I said, the original light beer. It is Miller Lite. Please enjoy it responsibly. Yeah, I'm in terms of the Cowboys, this is big. We always talk about going to 0-2, and luckily we only have 1 week to see all the stats and the stat nerds that year in and year out love to give the 0-2 stats. But, Rod, there's actually something to it. You go 0-2, and you're in bad shape. Now, luckily, the Cowboys are in the NFC East.
Do you have an extra game this year, though?
And
expanded playoffs.
Great point. I wonder if, I'm not sure we're going to see that as much.
It's the same, because you got
we got to change that a little bit.
Yeah, you got a better chance to make it than you used to. Well, yeah, I assume that makes it a better chance. I don't know.
Gives you an extra game,
Some math nerd will probably,
actually,
technically, right, you're wrong.
Right. You're off.
So, I mean, you're right. You don't want to go down 0-2. But the Cowboys are feeling good about themselves because of the moral victory against the Bucks, because they were in it. They should have won it. They should have won that game. I mean, this is the stat that is mind-blowing, that the Bucks were the first team in NFL history to lose a turnover margin by at least 3 turnovers, also to rack up 100-plus yards in penalty yards and allow at least 450 yards and still win a game. No NFL team has ever done it, and they did it. So they played subpar football and beat the Cowboys. So not saying the Cowboys' effort wasn't great. I mean, Dak put on a show, but, you know, the GOAT's all about getting the dub. The GOAT says you can keep the show. I'll get the dub.
So we've just got someone texting us. This actually comes from Jane Slater. And what happened, I was told they were doing a drill on a sled, and he got tripped up when he fell into the sled.
Oh, so they were doing the drill. He was walking through the drill.
Or he's on the sled.
Oh, he's on the sled. Okay.
I always wanted to do that with the sled. When the coach is on there barking at you.
Really?
Yeah, just, I mean, how can we injure you right now?
Maybe that's the motivation for having the coach stand on the sled.
Yeah.
Because the coach, especially a D-line coach, I mean, D-line coaches are always, I mean, they're pretty
hardcore.
The good
ones are.
They're pretty hardcore. I haven't met a lot of D-line coaches that aren't hardcore. A lot of F-bombs been dropped. I remember the D-line coaches in O-line coach. But by the way, both of them are very eccentric bunches. The O-line and D-line coaches.
Right.
And they're usually a mean SOB.
They're like two brothers. They're a little different, but they have the same DNA. And you go, oh, I know, this all came from dad's sperm.
I think it's our O-line coach actually in Detroit. He used to smoke
some type of cigar
on the field. It was strangest thing. You could smell it too.
I bet.
It was crazy. I mean, I want to say it might have just been Black and Mild. Might even like the cheap.
That's fantastic.
And no, it was just weird, man. But that's what met the Lions, though.
Hey, Sean Rogers, get over here. What are you talking about, you old man?
Oh, man.
All right. So, Chargers, Cowboys. Also, Michael Gallup's going to be out. So, if there's one spot where they're going to lose someone, it's going to take away the obviously. Cume-wise, what they've got going on, and maybe you can focus a little bit more on Amari Cooper, who tore up Tampa Bay, and obviously CeeDee Lamb, but I still think they're going to be okay there.
Yeah, of course, because they're one of the deepest teams in the NFL, but it makes them easier to defend.
No doubt.
Because you lose one of your, 1,000-yard
receivers.
You're not
worried about three.
Yeah, and, if you're talking about matchups, teams are built to thrive in a certain ecosystem. Your ecosystem is your division. That is set by the top predator in your division. Who's the top predator in the Chargers division? Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
So you are built to defend the pass. They defend the pass really pretty well. They've been stockpiling DBs. They're really deep in the back end.
And defensive line.
And pass rush.
Pass rushers,
so
yeah.
That's kind of, that's matchup-wise for the Cowboys. Remember the ball? The Tampa Bay Bucs lost, two starting DBs in the game?
They came in without one.
They came in without one.
Lost one.
Then lost another
Murphy
one.
Murphy Bunting. And then lost another Davis.
And went down.
Yeah, for a little while and then came back. So at one point, though, they had three guys out. And that's their thinnest spot.
And that was their thinnest spot anyway. That's where they're the youngest. I don't know if there's anybody that's starting in secondary older than 26.
And they really weren't good last year. I mean, we get so caught up in how people were in the playoffs, which is great.
They were clutch.
But they weren't good in the regular season.
No. They were actually one of the worst pass defenses.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
So with that said, quickly before we go to break, both of us applauded what Kellen Moore did. And I love when you don't try and say, well, we're going to give it a couple possessions and do what we do, even though we know this is not going to work. Man, he threw that thing out on Wednesday in terms of rushing and really trying to use Zeke. And it was, with Zach Martin out, we're going to try and do everything we can to protect, get the ball out of Dak's hands. We're going to go after that secondary. Because of what you just said with the Chargers, I expect to see more of Zeke involved in the running game. Not a ton, necessarily, but definitely a lot more than Tampa Bay.
I do. I think that was a matchup-based thing.
It's a matchup-based thing.
Now, I say that.
And it was the right thing to do.
I say that, but, I've talked to some Cowboys fans who have pointed out a trend, which we'll get into when we do our Supreme Lending's picks, and we talk about this matchup a little bit more. But I assume that was a matchup-based thing, because going into that matchup, it did, in my opinion, you had to use and kind of maximize your only advantage. And we talked about the Cowboys' only advantage in that matchup versus the Bucs was their wide receiving core could not be defended by whoever the Bucs threw out there in their defensive backfield. There was going to be somebody open. And we just didn't know if Dak was going to start fast or he was going to have a little rust. Turns out there was no rust at all. He was amazing. And Dak won the moment. So, and even that one pick was probably his best damn throw of the night, ironically, for Dak. So I don't think they'll put that much on Dak's shoulders, but if they need to, I think we know Dak will show up.
Dak should show up there.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Randall ticket giveaway. So guess what? We're going to be playing this thing twice an hour. You got to listen for the number, and we're going to be giving away tickets for Texas and Rice, I believe. None of my email is working here. Our printer's not working. We've got a lot of stuff not working. Guess what?
The show must go on.
The show must go on, and we're going to be working. We're going to be okay. So be listening for that. We're going to talk some Texas football coming up next. We have an injury update and get into a little morning brew.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Train Thursday edition of RBKD. My man John back there picking out the jams. You can always be a part of the show. You can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Davis in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01 and John at JS Reichel in the Twitterverse. Also, are we on the Twitch stream? Are we live on Twitch? Sometimes I don't know. We have some technical difficulties every now and then. I have to make sure that we're okay before I promote the Twitch stream.
Today's a good day to ask that.
Today's a good day. Well, I'm just throwing it out there. Sometimes we do, and then we get told, and then we try to correct those issues. So go to hornfm.com, and then you can watch RBKD as well. All right, we're going to talk some Texas football, go behind the burnt orange curtain a little bit.
We are. By the way, if you missed that number, we're playing it all day. So
yes, if you missed the ticket window. Listening. Yeah, our virtual ticket window.
Virtual ticket.
It's a beautiful thing.
Shout out to Randall's.
Shout out. We were hanging out at
Randall's.
Yeah, a couple of times. Actually, one in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Over there. South Austin, shout out. Anyway, so you got another chance.
Good-looking Randall's.
You got another chance at the ticket window coming up later on this hour. So just listen up. Keep listening. You'll get your chance. All right, let's get to some Texas football news, notes, and nuggets here. Jared Wiley, good news for the Longhorns, and Longhorn fans need some good news. Good news for Longhorn fans and good news for the team. Jared Wiley returned to practice. And the reports are that he's going to be a go for the Rice game.
Good.
The offense could, they need any type of boost they could get. And I assume 12 personnel, it could be a way to insulate pass protection on the offensive line, especially along that left side where you may need some help there. And even in the run game where you may need some help there. And we know Jared Wiley has struggled. He's not the best pass blocking tight end you have. His assets are more in the receiving game.
He's a receiving guy. And
yes,
they need help everywhere. They need help. At 6'7". They need help blocking. They need help receiving. I think you will see some 12 personnel, and I think that'll be able to help out with both those things, pass protection and also run blocking. But Wiley is a guy that as we continue to look at these receivers and kind of gauge just how good they are, how much they're getting open, I think Wiley's a guy in that offense that can help out. Hopefully we see that this weekend.
Yeah, I hope so. But then
you
again,
don't sound very confident with
that. Well,
no,
because then I want to see the vertical passing game actually get some – I wanted to see it actually have some progress.
Yeah, me too.
And get some momentum and some confidence because, like I said, they've only completed – I think they have 10 out of 23 on passes beyond 10 yards. So I want to see the wide receivers on the outside. We haven't seen them really stretch the field. They should have some big plays, some chunk yardage plays in this game. And not saying I don't want to see a ton of Jared Wiley. Glad he's back. But against Rice, I'm expecting you to be able to get some offensive momentum going, get some mojo going, and – you know, Jared Wiley coming back, it's good for the team, good for the depth. But I don't know how much. And it should help the passing game because he's a passing threat. But we know Sark hasn't used tight ends a ton in the passing game in his history as a play caller.
Well, if there ever was a time. And some of the things we saw today, Rod, it's like Sark was talking about. He said that with Casey Thompson, they called one design run play for him. He said every time he took off, that was just, you know, I was scrambling on Casey. Gets back to what we talked about all off season is that there's going to be a lot more off schedule than Sark is used to. And so he said that's not what we do, right? Or that's not what we major in. I think that was a quote.
Did he say that?
Yeah. And so, well, you better start, you know, learning that this minor may be a double major, at least for this year.
In my opinion, honestly, I hate to say it. He needs to start watching some of the film from Tom Herman teams because this team right now, just right now, is probably it's probably going to play better in a infrastructure built around similar principles and concepts that Tom Herman used rather than the ones that you use that you are bringing in because you just don't have that type of personnel right now.
Which is very natural for a coach coming in.
It is.
And the personnel was fit to use the old scheme. That first and second year especially, you may want to take some of those principles and redress them as something that you do well.
I remember Matt Rhule did it when he first came in to Baylor. You know, he couldn't run the actual offense. He ran it because he didn't have the players he wanted. So
right.
He said, you know, essentially, I got to run the offense that the previous regime ran. We got to do our best to replicate that. And then
luckily, that
slowly,
was some of the only replication they had.
Matt Rule was just a hell of a coach.
From the previous regime.
We're talking about a coach that's, you know, light years ahead of anything that Texas had in the last few years. So you would think that's common sense. That should be, you know, common sense when a coach comes in that, hey, all these guys may not be able to run my system. They weren't brought in to run my system. I might be best, you know, I might be, you know, well served to utilize some of the things that they did well.
Mm-hmm.
From the previous regime. There were some things they did well last year that you can use now. And honestly, with Casey, you just talking about as a scrambling, who's the Sam Ellinger scrambled more than any other quarterback in college football in the 3 years he was as a starter at Texas.
Yeah.
More than any other quarterback.
Some of that's because he likes to scramble. Most of that was because he had to.
It's a little bit of both. I think Casey has some of that.
I do too.
Casey likes to scramble.
And I'm fine.
He likes to do that.
That's what you need with this offensive line.
That's what you need with this. And just like Sam, he likes to scramble. And the situation calls for it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know which one, chicken or the egg. I don't know which one it is. The old line is bad, that's why he's scrambling. Or, you know, he's scrambling because that's just part of his football character. I think Casey has some of that too. And you got to start using, you know, the read option. Zone read, you got to bring it back because you need the plus one in the running game as a threat to help to boost Bijan.
Yes.
This is all about Bijan. He's the identity of the team. The plus one in the running game, it works. We all know it. We've watched it here. Win a national title. Plus one in the running game, it works everywhere. Hell, even Nick Saban has a hard time with it.
Right.
It works. Just, you got to use it. Sorry.
Which is why I haven't given up on it, even though people still talk about it a lot. That was my bread and butter as a kid.
With the read option?
Well, athletic quarterbacks.
Older, yeah.
Plus one.
Oh, no doubt.
Plus one. Let's play 11 on 11.
No doubt. It is a huge plus for Texas. And not saying Hudson Card couldn't have provided that, but it does seem that Casey's a more comfortable runner.
Yeah. I think Hudson
can
run.
He's a more assertive runner.
It's obvious he doesn't want to run.
This is not even about athleticism. Some guys are really great runners.
No, this is not
runners.
A Stephen A. Smith take. That, I got this figured out. I can look at skin color. No, Hudson may beat him in a 40. I don't know.
But they're both
athletic.
I don't disagree
but
with
if
that.
One guy is decisive when to run and has to run and is okay with running, then if you're close athletically, you're the better runner.
Yeah. So I think you, I hate to say it, but you got to watch some of the Tom Herman film and kind of take some of that, those principles too. Just in a lot of ways, because this team,
I'm with you,
unfortunately can't run the Sark offense. We probably could have told you that before you came here, but had to learn it the hard way. Yeah. And you know what? Hard lessons are the ones you remember.
Yeah.
You don't forget them.
No, you
don't. They imprint on your soul.
They stick with you.
They stick with you.
Good and bad. No. What do you got? Do you have more injury stuff?
Yes, Troy Murray is still out, and they are working him along slowly. That was also revealed. And Jadae Barron.
Yeah.
Is going to be out too because my man Jeff Howe reported this. Actually, make sure I get the injury correct. If they were he actually is going to be out. They didn't specify exactly what it was. So, but Charles Murray's still out with the knee. I wonder what's going on with Jadae Barron. Interesting.
I don't know.
They're playing. They're rotating.
They're playing them. Yeah.
Your kinfolk played too.
I know. I wouldn't mind to see more Darian.
Yeah.
The O'Meary thing continues to worry me though. I mean, this is, if that same knee.
It's lingering, it seems.
It's lingering.
Maybe he re-injured it. Was that the open practice?
Open practice.
It was open practice, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, he re-injured it, and that was a setback. So I just take your time with him. I mean, that's.
Take your time with him, but boy, we could use
you. You need him.
It.
Oh, yeah. Of course you need him, but if he comes back and then re-injures it, it's not going to do anything.
No,
I agree with
don't
you.
Do that.
100%. You're right. You need him.
No, if you got to sit him for the year, him for the year.
On that note, though, also was revealed that Kelvonte Dixon is going to play more, and so is Marcus Washington.
Okay.
He threw that out there as well. They're going to play more because I'm assuming he's unhappy with the production on the outside at wide receiver.
Yeah, and after that quote, though, he said they're going to play more, but he said, but you have to earn your time in practice, which made me seem like those two guys either had or hadn't. I mean, if they're going to play more, then they probably have if you make that type of statement. But it tells me that maybe they hadn't before because they weren't getting a lot of playing time.
Oh, man, E. Hogan informs me knee sprain for Jadae Barron.
Knee sprain, okay.
2 to 3 weeks. Thanks, E. Yeah, so that's unfortunate for him. I mean, they could I know they're rotating a lot of guys on the back end. I don't know if that's because they're waiting on guys to get in shape or they're legitimately manufacturing or building depth.
Shouldn't you be in shape?
They played a lot of guys. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know exactly what it is. My man, Chip Brown. Give Chip Brown some props. Doing some great work over there at Horns 24/7. Had his insider piece behind the scenes on the quarterback decision. And he had a couple of nuggets in here. Won't reveal everything because you should probably go check it out for yourself about the quarterback competition going on between Hudson Card and Casey Thompson. And now, of course, Casey Thompson is the starter for the Rice game. Did bring up that early on that Casey Thompson was basically late for, I guess, a function or some team meeting or team function. They may have overslept or something. That maybe that was taken into account early on. As part of the, in addition to throwing interceptions in practice.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, and not really cementing himself as the starter, that maybe that was one of the things, too, that kind of was thrown into the mix in the competition as a whole. So it's, he also pointed out that he sold Casey Thompson initially when he told him about the Hudson Card starting to start the season versus Louisiana. They did, you know, sell him on the, hey, man, Coach Matt Castle, my backups even go to the league, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know.
Just so you know.
My backups still go to the league.
I would have sold them on.
It's a good selling point.
It is a good selling point. I would have sold them on, hey, this is far from done, which he probably did, too.
He probably did, too. I'm sure he did. The better selling point would be we're going to need you.
Yeah.
And at this point, hell, I wouldn't have doubt that they should have had a package for him even in the Arkansas game. Considering what we saw from the offense and how it struggled, there should have been a Casey Thompson package. When it was competitive, just, hey, no, we want you to go out there and run, you know, these plays. We know this is your strength.
People are so absolute with, I don't want to have a two quarterback system. Yeah, you can have packages, though.
Packages.
I've been seeing that since the spring, I wouldn't mind seeing both these guys out there.
Oh, yeah. Casey Thompson package would be nice. So, anyway, but I think that ultimately this Rice game, you do want to see your quarterback shine. And Casey Thompson, I think it's going to expect for him to have a big game. What does that entail? I don't know. I think that if Texas could get their wide receivers going on the outside, that would be a big plus. I think Jordan Whittington is going to have a big game anyway. And they started moving Jordan Whittington around.
Yes.
He doesn't need to play just wide receiver. Teams are going to start doubling him in the slot.
Put him in the backfield.
Yeah.
You can motion him out.
He's a running back.
You can hand it off to him. You can hand it off on a lead.
You actually can hand it off to him, but he needs to be.
And it may surprise people.
Yeah. You got to start moving him around. If he's going to be your only, you know, weapon on the perimeter that can really. You can use Bijan on the perimeter too, which we saw, and you only targeted him one time in the Arkansas game. You need to start using Jordan Whittington in very multiple ways. And move him around because he is multifaceted and he's got that type of multiplicity within his skill set. Yeah. So.
All right. We'll get back to a lot more Texas and Rice coming up at 4:00. We'll stay with the Burnt Orange up next, but go to the Irwin Center. The full schedule for Texas Hoops has been released. You missed the number there with the Randall's Ticket Window. Guess what? We're going to be playing it, continue to play it all show long. So you're just going to have to keep on listening. Texas and Rice, we're registering people for tickets on that. You'll be qualified to, or at least enter that registration. So all you got to do is call that number. So keep on hanging around.
It's a beautiful thing.
Hopefully it's a beautiful thing on Saturday.
We jinx you over here.
You and I are.
That's how you know we are.
We're on page. Our cycles have come together.
We're cautiously optimistic. Hopefully.
We've been together long enough. We've been living in the same house long
really
enough.
Did.
We have the same. Our cycles have finally come together.
Oh, man. That's sad.
John, don't give me that look. That's true.
It's Rice here. Yeah.
No, that is true.
It's called
not with Rod and I, but with women.
Oh yeah,
I was going to say not with you two.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
If y'all had cycles, we would have a different conversation.
Well, you've heard us before. Sometimes we are PMSing a little bit.
Menstrual synchronization.
Yeah.
Hey, the exact term for it?
Men can have PMS too.
Well, you can get in your moods.
Hey, from what I've been told the last year or two,
I don't know how physiological it is.
Anything's possible. This is what's possible. We talked about the transfer portal. How much did that help Texas basketball? Obviously a lot. They're going to be in a lot of preseason top five polls. And we talked about their off-season schedule their non-conference schedule that came out. But the Big 12 conference schedule came out. And, of course, Rod, right away, everyone is looking at when is that game going to be in Lubbock? It's going to be February 1st.
February 1st. All right. Who's making the trip? Who's going to Lubbock?
I'm not.
Well, because that's going to be, we talked about the hostile environment at Arkansas, and there are a lot of people who went there that I know personally that said, you know, it was, I mean, the fans, they were confrontational.
Yes.
Let's just say, to say the least, they were confrontational.
Not surprising.
Yes. And, you know, several different Longhorns gave me stories about that. Texas Tech fans are really upset. I mean, they are on top of the, you know, Texas and Oklahoma leaving to go to the SEC. Yeah. No, 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 the Chris Beards. So we're talking about
Chris
before
Beard. They've been
that.
Upset about land rights forever.
So now we're talking about compounding hatred and vitriol for Texas because they hate Texas anyway. There's a natural hate that Texas has for Texas Tech, or Texas Tech has for Texas. Yeah. I should say. By the way, they are playing Texas Tech though, right? In football now. Is that, remember the report that there's going to be a.
Yeah, every year,
it's like 30-year
contract.
Once Texas goes to the SEC,
I'm completely against.
So I guess there is a relationship there. But my point is that Texas Tech really hates Texas, and
stop keeping relationships with people that hate you. That's a message to everyone out
sometimes
there.
Sometimes hatred is beneficial. Well, you know, for marketing reasons.
You are married now. It's too soon for that.
I think that game is going to be, I mean, you Longhorn fans who do go, it could end up being confrontational. That's my point.
Yes.
The Texas Tech Red Raiders, they've been stewing in this for a while.
Wait 18 days and go out to the Drome and fill it up, and February 19th, Texas Tech will come here.
But it's going to be even more hostile if it's only Red Raider fans, if it's no Longhorn fans there at all.
That's what I'm saying. Wait to go to the Irwin Center and have some backup.
That's what I'm saying, but you want some Longhorn fans to go in support.
No.
Into hostile territory.
No.
You have to have
some. I want it to be 100%, and let's go.
You know, Chris Beard
wouldn't
mind.
Let's still go kick their ass.
Coach Beard wouldn't mind it. Coach Beard prefers it like that.
He probably does.
I cannot wait to see him
in
that environment.
One of the many things I like about Chris Beard.
I cannot wait to see him in that environment.
Yeah.
Man, he's right.
You better have security.
He's already pretty intense. He's an intense guy just by nature. That's just him. He's intense. Imagine him in a hostile environment like that. I wonder what's the most hostile environment he ever played in. That's got to be up there.
It's got to be.
It's going to have to be up there.
This is going to be different.
It's going to be different, man. It's him going back there.
When B.J. Tyler was going to take on Jason Sasser and Lance Hughes, I mean, it was a hostile environment, right?
Yeah.
Anytime Texas goes in there. But
anytime Texas goes in there.
This is different. This is going to be different.
It's going to be different, man. So I can't wait to see him and his team because the team is going to take on his, you know, kind of his personality, and that's going to be a tough team. Because he's a tough man. An intense team. Because he's intense.
All
right. It's going to be fun.
It will be. In terms of other games, you got Kansas here in Austin, February 7th. And Texas will finish it off March 5th at Kansas in Lawrence. There's nothing like it. That's a trip
sexy.
I would love to take.
That's
go
sexy.
To Allen Fieldhouse. I've never been to Allen Fieldhouse. Been to a lot of cool stadiums. I've never been there.
Man, I love. So the end of the schedule, you get Baylor, and then you get Kansas.
Baylor here in Austin, and then at Kansas.
And the Big 12 is a very competitive college basketball conference. I think most people would have them as the three best teams in the Big 12, potentially. I mean, I don't know. I mean, definitely Kansas and Texas as the two best teams in the Big 12.
Baylor lost tons of people.
I don't know
Scott
where Baylor
Drew
is.
Has proven
he
that,
has, but, yeah.
that not only does he develop incredibly well, but he evaluates really well. I would think, I mean, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. That's the most fun Baylor team I've ever watched any sport ever. I didn't watch the 70. I was born in 78, and the Wild Bunch really became friends with the 78 baseball team that went to Omaha. Apparently, those were a bunch of cool guys. So, if you're listening, I was just born.
He's a fan,
so,
huh?
Later on. But from what I've heard, the Baylor basketball team last year, and I'd come on and say I hate saying this, but God, they're fun to watch. They were so much fun to watch.
Oh, I agree. I think both
likeable
of us.
Likeable team.
Both of us picked
them. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and you were, just because you were not on the Zag bandwagon from the jump. Even regular season when they were making history, you were not a fan.
I nailed that. That was fun. BK coming in saying there's no way that's going to happen. Just busting his balls left and right. Who knows college basketball here?
And that guy watches more college basketball than any human being I know.
And that's what I knew. It would have been the equivalent of me coming in with like a baseball take or the heater I'm on in college football now, and then you get proven wrong, and it's like, all right, I got too into this thing. So it should be a fun schedule. The Big 12 should be very competitive. Just excited about this thing, man. Excited about kind of what Beard's been able to do. I thought it was going to take a little bit longer, but as we said yesterday, there's some pros and cons to the transfer portal. Pros for Chris Beard.
Here's another reason I love Chris Beard. Here's a quote from, I got it from Chip Brown. Chris Beard. Quote, "I'm not the best analytic guy on our staff, but we've got some guys who can put it in Big Chief tablet form that I can read. I passed a lot of classes around here with cliff notes. They can't take my degree from me.
God.
I've got it. I've got a master's degree based on a lot of cliff notes, too.
That is great.
Do young people even know what cliff notes are? Black and yellow, $4.95, man."
Oh, my God. He's done such a good job of relating to us.
Cliff notes,
I think so much of target marketing now, marketing now is towards young people. And I get that to some degree.
Yeah.
Don't forget about 35 and older in olds if you're a coach like that.
It's great.
And he has hit us from, remember he came in right away and he was hitting up all the old spots?
He was. There were pictures of him like hanging out in like old Austin spots.
At Broken Spoke. Skinny dipping. Guess where? Barton Springs.
Yeah. No, you're right. And he's having his fireside chats now.
Yeah.
No, he's a man of the people. That's the damn show. He's a man of the people. We appreciate it. Yeah. Ask him to go. He should be giving pregame speeches to the Longhorn football team. Can you coach O-line, Chris Beard?
Oh, my God.
Do you have any experience in coaching the offensive line? Just curious.
Can anyone, when they get here? Flood's making $1.1 million. We're only two games in, though. So
you mean assistant O-line?
I'm going to give him time. And I've been on the train of this offensive line has only so high of a ceiling. So if Kyle Flood gets them to average this year, I'm going to look at him like Alex Gibbs.
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof. We're 1 hour in.
That's how I feel right now as a Longhorn fan.
Absolutely.
Ceiling is the roof.
You kidding me? Let's be realistic about that. 1 hour in. We got 3 hours to go. This thing's flying by. We got the Randall's ticket window. Keep on listening for that. We're giving away tickets for Texas and Rice. You got to listen for that number and then call that number. And then you are going to be entered to win that. Speaking of Texas Rice, we're talking about that up next. Used to love the sign on Memorial Stadium when they used to give that. You'd go on the upper deck of the, I-35. And Durwood and Lucille lived in East Austin, Exeter Lane. And so we'd always be going up there. And I always wanted to see what that sign was,
What was the sign?